Well, we have a little bit more time this time than last time, but I got downgraded on the pulpit. So, but that's okay. That's okay. I can pick this one up and move around. First of all, it is Father's Day, and then happy Father's Day to the fathers, the grandfathers, those who have been like a father to some. I was trying to think, last year I was actually able to be home with my father and grandfather for Father's Day, but they're definitely going to get a call later on. And like I said, on Mother's Day, if you are still blessed to have your father or grandfather or that person in your life that was like a father to you around, then definitely give them a call at the very least. I was gone last week in Pennsylvania helping Alex's mom. They've started the process of cleaning out her grandparents' home there in Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh area, and getting it ready. And her mom's actually been there now almost a month, just sorting through everything. And it's the first time that she's actually stayed there when both of her parents have been gone. So it's been tough for her. And we were able to spend a few days last weekend with her and just helping her out and getting things ready. And Alex is actually up there again this weekend helping her out. So that's where Alex is. Those of you that didn't ask, most of you did. But this morning, it is Father's Day. And most of the time on Father's Day, and I'm guilty of this as well, you'll hear a sermon that's just for fathers. And it's most of the time they pick out a father from the Bible. And you go through and you hear story after story of what a father should be. And many times I feel fathers leave here perhaps kind of discouraged because they see the mistakes that they've made. They see the things that perhaps they haven't done right. Whereas Mother's Day, typically you have the opposite. You have the praise of mothers on out of the pulpit. But this morning, I want to look at a little bit different approach to a Father's Day sermon. If you take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 12, big clock on the wall says we have about 11 minutes, so we'll we'll try to get you out as close to noon as possible. Fortunately, you didn't have to bring a boat to church this morning. When all those rains were coming last night, I didn't know whether I was going to be taken up in a whirlwind and end up in Oz, or whether I was going to be getting my canoe out and driving and floating to church this morning. But that sunshine definitely is good to see out there this morning. Luke chapter 12, and starting in verse 29, it says, "And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity and the freedom to come out into your house this morning to sing praises to you and to spend a few moments in your word. I just pray that in the next few moments, the words that I say would not be mine, but that they would be yours. We thank you for your blessings, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to take a look at the most wonderful father of all. When you look in the scripture, and specifically in the gospels, you'll see that Jesus referred to God as my father 53 times. But when Jesus talked about his father, he didn't just call him my father, he also called him our father some 21 times in the gospels. And it clearly showed that those of us who believe in Jesus share the same relationship with God that he shared. But if you do the research, you'll find that it gets even better because Jesus calls God your Father 21 times in the gospel as well. This morning, I want to look at, like I said, the most wonderful father of them all. There's countless examples of good fathers in the Bible. And like I said, I'm sure you've heard sermons on probably all of them, and most of the time probably on Father's Day. And I've even given them myself. But this morning, I just want to take a few moments and look at that relationship with God that we have as God being our Father. This morning, first of all, I want to talk about the relationship itself. Like I said, Jesus calls God your Father. And as I said, he used this particular phrase 21 times in the gospel. And he also gave us this phrase to show us the preciousness of this relationship with our Father. First of all, it's a personal relationship. When we see the phrase, your Father, it's something intimate. It's something that's so personal. And when an unbeliever comes to God through faith, he's adopted into the kingdom. He's adopted into the family, and God becomes his Father. The Bible tells us that we're born again, and Romans 8 uses that phrase, adopted. Such a beautiful picture of the relationship that we have with God. The word, when you study the original text, that word adoption literally means to place as a son. That person literally becomes a child of God. 1 John tells us this and gives us that promise. We see that in adoption, a son is brought into a family and is given the same rights as a child that's born into that family. So it's a personal relationship. We are children of God once we believe in him. It's a profound relationship. It's a remarkable thing when you stop to think about the condition that a person is in before they come to Christ. The Bible tells us that to be in sin is to be an enemy of God. Romans 8 tells us that. And Ephesians goes on to tell us that not only are we an enemy of God, but we're a slave to the world and a slave to flesh. And yet, once we come to Christ and we believe in him, we're adopted into the family. We go from being an enemy of God to being a child of God. The sad part is that those who have not accepted him and have not come into this belief are still in that sinful condition and still as an enemy of God. When you stop and consider that truth, you'll see then how profound and amazing it really is when we stop and think about that complete 180-degree change that we take just by claiming to be a Christian, by accepting Christ. We go from being on the lowest level an enemy of God to being his child. We see that when you study this passage and you study what Jesus was telling us there in Luke, you'll see that those he was talking to really didn't have a concept of this idea of God being Father. They didn't think about God in intimate term like that. And so calling God the Father was not only a new concept, but it honestly had angered many of them. And we see later on they were very angry, because the Jews at this time, and still even today, when they would call on God, they wouldn't call him Father. They would call him a title that basically was whatever they needed for the hour, whether it was Jehovah Jireh, which was the Lord will provide, or Jehovah Shalom, which is the Lord our peace, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, whatever their need may have been. And there are dozens more of those names that we could go through, whether they needed healing, whether they needed provision, whatever it may have been. That's the God that they had and the God that they serve. They didn't have that intimate relationship of God the Father and we his children. For those of us who are in Jesus, there's a different name that we can use to speak to God. We see in Luke 11 that prayer that all of us know and all of us can quote, that has simply been known and come to be called the Lord's Prayer. And we see in that the disciples witnessed not only the model prayer, how to pray, but they witnessed the prayer life of Jesus, and they also wanted the same access to God. When Jesus used the word Father in this prayer, it translates to the Aramaic word Abba, which the closest thing that we have in our language for Abba is simply Daddy. And that's the exact relationship that we have. Once you accept him, you are his child, and you can call on him and call him Father. Not only is it a profound relationship, it's a permanent relationship. You see, when God adopted us into his family, he didn't just do it for a little while. When you look at the process of adoption in biblical times, you'll see that although a child by birth could be disowned by their family, an adopted child could never be given up. And so that's the picture that we have when we come to Christ and we come to the family of God. We are in the family of God until the end. We looked at the relationship. Now let's look at the responsibilities of God. Just as a human father has responsibilities to his children, God has responsibilities to us, his children, as well. We see in the verses that we read that he has a responsibility of awareness. We all have needs. God knows each and every one of our needs. He knows every time we go through a problem, he knows about it. He's right there with us. He's aware of everything that affects his children. As a parent, you may not always know what's going on with your child, but your heavenly Father knows every single thing that's going on with you and every single trial that you may be going through. Nothing happens in your life or in mine that goes unnoticed by our heavenly Father. He truly has an awesome awareness of his children. He also has a responsibility of ability. It isn't enough for the Lord just to know what's going on with his children. He also knows what to do for them. And he has the ability to see them through whatever trial, whatever turmoil they may be going through. Many times people live in doubt of God's great ability to care for his children. But I'd like to remind you that the same God that spoke the universe into existence is the same God that you can now call your Father. And the same God that is holding you right there in the palm of his hand, the same God that's walking right beside you. Sometimes as a human parent, you may not always be able to meet the needs of your children. Sometimes they come to you and you don't always have the answers. You don't always have the things that they may need. But your heavenly Father does. He also has a responsibility of availability. God's awareness of our needs and his power to help us is a wonderful truth. But if God is far removed from us, it doesn't do us much good. But the Bible says and gives us the promise that we can come boldly into his throne room, that we can go to him whenever we have a need and whenever we need him. He's always available. He's always ready. Doesn't take sick days. Doesn't take time off. He's always there for us. Those commercials are, they always crack me up. I don't even remember what the company's for now, but it shows a person coming and they're talking to someone and they're saying, you know, I'm not feeling well today. I'm just going to have to take the day off. And the camera kind of zooms out and you see that they're talking to their little baby. They're talking to their child because they needed a day off. God doesn't take days off. He's always there with us. And he's always there, ready to hear us when we call out to him. Just as I love that phrase in the passage that we read, that's his little flock, his sheep, his children. Not only does God have a responsibility and a role, but we as his children also have a role as well. First of all, we have to have faith. Verse 29 said that, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. The phrase simply means to be agitated or harassed with cares. It's a term that was used to describe a ship that was being tossed about upon a stormy sea. And here it is, a term that's used as a metaphor for worry. Jesus was simply saying, child of God, do not allow your mind to be tossed up and down by the waves of worry, doubt, and fear. Verse 32 goes on to tell us to fear not, to be out to fight, or to be seized with fear. Don't allow yourself to be seized with fear. We have to have faith. The Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please him. And truly, without faith, it is impossible to even come to him and to seek him out. Not only must we have faith, but we must be faithful. Verse 31 tells us to seek, which literally means to crave something. We are to crave the things of God. We are to have the things of God as our number one desire in our heart. When we put him first, God will truly put us first in his life. And don't get me wrong, even when we are unfaithful to him, God will still be faithful to us. He'll never leave us. I've spoken before here and elsewhere on the story of the prodigal son, that father that was standing there waiting for his child to come home. He didn't turn his back on his child, even though his child turned his back on him. We have a Heavenly Father, as I said, the most wonderful Father of them all. And yet, all you have to do is come to Him in faith. If you're lost this morning, like I said, the Bible simply says you're not one of His children. You are an enemy of God. Harsh words, but yet, those were Christ's words. I urge you this morning, whatever your need may be, if you're lost, come to Him today. Come to Him. Seek Him. It's the best decision you could ever make in your life. You'll be adopted into the family of God. You'll be one of God's children. That's all He asks, is that you believe in Him. Maybe you're here this morning and you're overcome with that fear. You're overcome with that worry because you're going through a trial that you don't know how you're going to get through it. You're trying to do things on your own. I'm guilty of it myself. Many times when things have come up in my life, I've thought, I can handle this. I don't need to bother God. I can do this on my own. Yet He's standing there waiting for you as His child to call on Him to say, Daddy, here I am. I need your help. Get me through this. This morning, like I said, we want to wish you a happy Father's Day. But most of all, let us remember the one who is the greatest Father of them all. Brother John.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You've challenged our hearts. God, we thank You for the sermon we just heard. We thank You for Brother Matt and the way he just touches our heart and the way You use him. So, Heavenly Father, we ask now that we have needs, we will turn to You. God, we ask now that all the challenges we face within our life, we'll be able to lay them upon the altar, and God, that You will hear, You will answer. And God, for that individual who may be questioning, God, so many questions in hearts and minds, they will simply look to You, and what a beautiful day to say, God, I love You. So we thank You for allowing us to be in Your house today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Brother Matt, I want to thank you for sharing today.